I play the word at night while I'm sleeping, and it helps me just kind of get into a restful state. But sometimes the Lord will wake me up at certain times to hear certain things, and He has woken me up in the same place in the word 2 times. And so I just screenshot it with my eyes closed, screenshot, and I just look at it in the morning, and then that I've noticed that it's been in the same place both times, and I just let it wash over me. So honestly, I was going through it, and I was thinking, Lord, I feel like I should say more, but the impression I got was that He has something He wants to say to everyone. I'm just the vessel, so it's really just going to be spirit to spirit. It's going to be His spirit to your spirit. So I may not elaborate on everything that I read, but He has something to say to you, so just look for that.
Amen.
If I were to give a summary, just to have a context for this message, I would say, starting in Matthew 6:33, the summary for this is, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So, with that in mind, I'm starting King James Version, Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Actually, I'm just going to go 1 through 9. And it's talking about an attitude of Christ. And my idea of an attitude of Christ is like your soil. Because everything's going to grow out of that soil. And so if you can kind of let this meld in from that place. In verse 1 it says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." So He's desiring a unity and a fellowship in the Spirit amongst us and with Him. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, and let each esteem the other better than themselves." And so He wants us to have a constant attitude of humility and not deal with things in a strifeful or vainglory way, and prefer other people better than ourselves. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And I think that's interesting because, we're all going through things, and this is a way that as the body of Christ we can come together. And we should be able to listen, and a lot of times when we're carrying this thing with this person, and then we're sharing our part, and we're fellowshipping in the Spirit one to another, we're able to sharpen one another, and it ends up ministering one another, and we're caring about them. That's going to be that give and take in that conversation. "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." He died to himself. And that's what He asked us to do, is die to self. "And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So He died to self. He took on humility. He wanted to fellowship in spirit. He wanted us to prefer other people better than himself. And He maintained this attitude through everything that He did. "And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness." When He took upon the form of a servant, when I think of the Lord Jesus, I'm always thinking in terms of what we've talked about in this body. He's apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. He's all of those things. But here He doesn't mention any of that. He's just a servant. "And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." So he died to self. But I believe too, he stayed in the same context of how we function. Lay down heavenly privileges. Even the death of the cross. So he died to himself in his heavenly privileges, and he died physically on the cross. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now this is interesting because God the Father highly exalted him. And I just want to pause here for a minute and transfer to, you don't need to follow me there, but in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So, if you humble yourself and you're taking on the attitude of Christ, he's going to exalt you. There's no need to, you don't have to prove who you are, what you are, anything. Most of the time when people got to know who Jesus was, he even would acknowledge that the Father let them know that about him and who he was, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay. With that, I have a little exclamation point here. Luke! So I just want to, it's not me actually, it's the Father, because you didn't know I was going to have this message this week, but he wants to exalt you.
Amen.
Because you preferred me better than yourself. And you got me a Coke when there were no Cokes. And they were hidden. And I looked all through that fridge and I didn't find a single one, but you know where the hiding place was. And you may have been saving it for yourself, but you know what? You preferred me better than yourself. And he's exalting you for that. And you didn't know I was doing this message this week. And so it came at the right time. Anyways, moving on. And I don't need tissues. Okay. So, 1 John 1, 5, if you want to turn with me. It says, "Our lives are a living testimony." And starting in verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is darkness at all." And in him is no darkness at all. Excuse me. "And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." So I'm just trying to stop there for a minute. We've heard this before, but this is displaying that. When we're maintaining the attitude and then we're fellowshipping with him, it's going to pour over. It's like, I'm honestly, this whole message, I'm looking at these buckets. It's like bucket, 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 bucket. And all these things that we put on our like checklist, we don't really have to, because this bucket is going to like overflow, and then it's going to overflow into this bucket, and then it's going to overflow, and it's going to overflow into this bucket, and all these things just happen.
Yeah.
So it takes the pressure off us, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But if we walk, so fellowshipping with him is then going to fill the bucket of fellowshipping with one another. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And I think that's important, sinned as in past tense.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have to maintain being a sinner as we're growing in him. So, starting in chapter 2, Verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." So there it is, right there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to sin. And as we're growing in him, that will become less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in a layered approach as well through fellowship and the word and maintaining that attitude. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So if we do, we get to fall on him. But the key is, we shouldn't look at it as a justification to do something. Oh, well, he'll forgive me because.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and he knows I struggle with this. No, we should still, Lord, I really need help here. I really don't want to sin here anymore. I want to move on from this because we're trying to grow into not sinning, right?
Yes.
There's an abiding that's occurring through this process. So moving on, verse 3, to know God is to obey. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, this could add to your checklist of something you need to do, or you could think on it through Galatians 3, where he talks about your faith. Your faith in him and your walking with him and your relationship with him, it's going to align you in alignment with his commandments. You don't have to do it out of your own ability. Mm-hmm. He's going to do it through you, through that relationship. So again, that's another bucket. It's like, whoop, you didn't have to do it. For me, this helps because, I don't know about you, but I've gone through phases where I just felt like, oh, now I need to do this. To the list, you know,
right.
You know, at least the prayer list, right? Okay, Lord, you know, and that's okay. Add it to your prayer list, but just know that he is doing it. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. So we have the potential to not sin. We have the potential to be perfected in the word. Hereby know that we are in him. Ugh. Okay. Mm-hmm. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Mm-hmm. So this process is allowing us to be Christ-like and walk as he walked and abide in him and he in us. And when we're abiding in him, we've accepted Jesus. And when we've accepted Jesus, we've accepted the Father. And there's a whole circle thing going on. So now I'm moving to 2 Peter 1, verse 16. Okay. God's power for godly lives. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That sticks out to me. Notice what he put first. Simon Peter put a servant, and then he put an apostle of Jesus Christ, just as Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Jesus did that. So wherever we're at and who we are, as who he's growing us to be, or how we're serving him in whatever capacity, it's secondary to being a servant.
That's good.
Because that's what Jesus said back in the Attitudes, that he was a servant first. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So automatically we're going to gain grace. Are you wanting to be more graceful? Be in the Word and gain knowledge. Do you want more peace? Grow in the Lord. Gain more knowledge. It's a promise. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, and his glory and virtue draw us unto him. But also, again, through knowledge, we gain life and godliness. And we can, I know a lot of times we think about knowledge and we think of it in the, well, you grow in knowledge and you get puffed up, or you could get, you know, and there are those potentials, but when you keep it in the framework of his attitude, that's not possible.
True.
And to knowledge, temperance, which is self-control, and temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, after all these little buckets are going bloop, 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 there's this overflow, which is what he's talking about with abounding. There's an abundance that's occurring. And there's, you know, sometimes we can feel like, wow, I really don't know the word enough. But honestly, I have been in the word for years. I mean, I actually feel like I know less today than I did even 10 years ago, if I'm being real honest, on just feelings-based, which I know we don't go on feelings. But, so you can't go on that. We just have to trust that we're not going to be barren and that we're not going to be unfruitful. And he has a promise with that. And cannot see far off and have forgotten that he has purged. Okay, excuse me, I didn't start at the beginning of that verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So when we are lacking and growing in this knowledge and maintaining this attitude, we're forgetting things that he's done for us. We're forgetting where he's come through. We forget. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, we may not be as much in fellowship. And I don't want to limit fellowship to, are you at church? Like, I don't know about you, but I have definitely struggled enough physically that I have missed plenty. I know Aaron could attest for some. Justin could attest for some. Or Rachel over there with the leg and the hobbit feet. I'm just teasing. We were talking about that earlier. Anyways, I'm just saying that, like, fellowship comes in many capacities. And, you know, in the Lord was talking about earlier in the attitude that we care about what's going on with us as much as we're caring about what's going on with Gene or Andrew or Mark. We care about those things equally because we need one another. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And I have that underlined because I need that reaffirmed for me. And I, you know, it says never fall, but I can also put in place not fail.
Sure.
You know, like coming up here, you're like, what if I can't get it together? What if I fail? Because I want to make sure I do, you know, for you guys what I'm supposed to do, or I meet my family's expectations or whatever. And sometimes there's that feeling of you don't want to fail. And this is a big reason why this was ministering to me, is because the Lord is, this is an encouragement for me too. So I hope it's an encouragement for you. And when it was talking about the word, I just to make that tangible, and I gravitate to this verse a lot because there's certain foundational verses to me, and this is one. Talking about John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then John 1:2, it says, the same was in the beginning with God. And so when we're growing in these things, we have God. We have his presence. And he's with us, and we just have to know it as a truth. Anyways, okay, lastly, I don't normally share, actually I've never shared from here. This was my book from when I went to Tracy's. And the Lord gave me a word of the Lord on that trip. And I'm going to share it with you because he prompted me to share it with you because it's a word for you. But I have to give you some context. When I went to Trace Diaz, they saw my name and they thought the real Beth Moore was showing up. And the real Beth Moore writes devotionals, she writes books, she writes all these things. Some of you may be familiar with her, but that's who they thought was coming. And as soon as I found out about that, it catapulted me into a conversation with the Lord. And it threaded through my weekend. And so, but I saw my notebook the other day, and I was just prompted to look in it. And the Lord showed me where I was answering a question. So there's a point in the weekend where if you want, you can answer a question to your ladies, or on the men's weekend, maybe the men. And I was answering this question, but mine was threaded with Beth Moore in it, because it was as much my testimony and me answering the question as it was a word of the Lord for them. Because, and to the point that he literally had me, I wrote it down, and he literally said, "Now, Beth, I want you to mark out every place you wrote my, me, any of that, and I want you to put our and us." And so, and it still applies today. Anyways, the question was, how have I changed from this encounter with Jesus? And I wrote, Beth Moore catapulted me into a conversation with the Lord. And this was the word. That the Lord knows the number of hairs on our heads as he does hers. It took him the same amount of time to make her as it did us. Whereas we go to a store and see different price tags on things, he paid one price for us all. And we all have the same created potential as she has. We are equipped to grow to a deeper relationship with the Lord, that the overflow can also manifest. And your overflow and my overflow may not look like books and devotionals, but there will be an overflow. And when we're humbling ourselves before him and maintaining that attitude, he will have the ability to exalt you in that due season and in that due time. And it's important that we keep our horse blinders on. I think of the blinders, you know, the horses get, and not look at this person's overflow or this person's overflow, because frankly, if there were 20 eyeballs in the room and everybody's overflow looked the same, we could not function. Mm-hmm. Everybody's overflow is necessary, and it's equal, and it's just as important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, I'm not going to read the verse because it's getting long, but in John 5:19, it talks about how Jesus could do nothing but what he saw the Father do, or say anything but what he saw, but what the Father said.
Mm.
The end.
Very good.